Russ, could you pray nice and loud for Sunday school?
Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. We're glad Pastor Lego is back with us, Lord. And let us be attentive to the word and what you have for us to learn today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Contrary to popular opinion, this is not a Baptist preacher's favorite topic. Okay. I want you to turn to Malachi. Open Malachi chapter 3. And the background of our lesson, because we've been looking at Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther in these last few weeks. And I thank Pastor Kenny for taking care of last week for me. He had to do triple duty, which he normally, not having to worry about Sunday school class makes it a little bit easier when you have to preach a lot. But Malachi is one of the last prophets in the Old Testament. He was a prophet around 400 B.C., and he was preaching to those who were around Jerusalem shortly after Nehemiah's ministry. I'm trying to give you a little bit of a background. And the Jews were constantly falling away from God. You go into that quiet period, the last 400 years, where then they didn't listen with Malachi and the last of the minor prophets, and God went quiet on them until the Savior came. And Malachi, he's chastising the Jews for what they're doing because they all started offering lame sick sacrifices instead of giving God what he required. When he mentioned you giving the first fruits, giving the first of the flock, giving the best, they started giving the weak and the halting, the sick, because it didn't mean anything to them. They started divorcing their wives and marrying heathen women, okay? And when you say heathen, it's if you're not a Jew, you were a heathen, okay? They were not to intermarry. They started doubting God's love and being unthankful because when you disobey, what happens to God's blessing? It's withheld. And so what we're going to see in the lessons this morning, it's going to focus on, and I'm sorry if you're visiting, we don't always preach on giving, okay? The lesson focuses on Malachi, what he was trying to teach the people there, their unwillingness to give to God what was his. And that's where our lesson starts this morning. And your memory verse was Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God answers, in tithes and offerings. And, excuse me. It's lemon water. It'll help cut my throat. Cut the stuff there and the buildup. What is a tithe? It's 10% of your increase. So we used to teach our kids, if they got a dollar, they owed God a dime. If you got $10, you owe God a dollar. If you've got $2,000, what is God's part? $200. That's not very hard, is it? Now, when it gets to be $10,000, sometimes it seems to be harder than it is when it's $10. You ever notice that? But we always taught our kids, so for Mike and AJ and Heather, giving was not hard for them because they learned right from the very beginning and they were excited about putting it in the offering plate, okay? And then when they got the chance to give to Faith Promise Missions, we made sure that they signed up for it, that they took care of that, okay? Because a tithe is God's. An offering isn't an offering until it's above the tithe, okay? And that's a very simple thing with that. And who tithed in the Bible? Turn to Genesis 14. I've had someone tell me, I don't need the tithe, that's under the Old Testament law. No, it was before the law. It was during the law, and I can demonstrate to you, we're going to see a little bit about it, but in Genesis chapter 14, okay, verse 17, and it says, "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale, and Melchizedek of Salem." He's the king of Jerusalem, okay? "King of Salem brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God." Okay, he's the king of peace. That's what Salem means. It means peace. "And he blessed him." See, so Melchizedek is blessing Abraham and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him what? Abraham paid tithes unto Melchizedek, who is an Old Testament type of Jesus Christ. See, he was thankful for the victory that God had given him and the deliverance of Lot. If that's the background here. He went and he rescued Lot. He rescued those who were taken in battle and brought them back. And he tithed to Melchizedek. He was the high priest. That's before the law. Now go to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. Look at verse 20. "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone," see, he set up for a pillar, it was a memorial, "this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give" what? "A tenth to thee." Before the law, Abraham tithed. Jacob, when he said he's making God his God, he tithed, and he was thankful for God's presence. Are you thankful for God's presence in your life? He was thankful for the promises of God. He was thankful for the preservation of God had for him and for God's power. And he mentioned the house of God, because you can see when you look at the background of this, in verse 13 of that text, that it says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." Verse 15, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee." And Jacob woke out of his sleep. Okay, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Okay, and so he called, this is the house of God. It was a dreadful place to him. In other words, it made him think and have to be understanding. And again, they called the place was Bethel. Okay, Bethel, which means house of God. He was claiming the promises, the preservation, the power, and the presence of God in his life. And in so doing that, he said, if God, you're my God, I will give you a tenth. Now go to Leviticus 27. So we have two we see here before the law. Two before the law. Leviticus 27, towards the end of the chapter. Look at verse 30. "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is" what? "It's holy unto the Lord." He told them that that was his. What'd they give it for? They gave, see, this is hard when you teach a lesson because I come under some of this stuff. It was given to support the ministers of the house of God. That's how God provided for the Levites and for the priests. The tithes were to be brought into the storehouse, and it was to be done with trust and obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. And sometimes, you know, and this is, Judy and I, after we got saved, we turned around and we saw this early in our Christian walk, and we always tithe. We taught our kids to tithe. Many of you have heard the story because, you know, my life's an open book. I use myself and my family's illustrations. That way the only people who can get mad at me are my family. Okay? Because if I start using you for illustrations, sometimes that doesn't make you very happy. Okay? But we turned around and God provided for us. We decided that Judy wasn't going to work. It wasn't me telling her she wasn't going to work. We wanted to homeschool our children. She was going to do the homeschooling. Okay? And I was going to work what was needed to provide, and God took good care of us, and then I got hurt badly. See, I've been cut out of 7 cars. And I got hurt badly, and there was no money. And we were in the process of trying to get our land set up and get a house. And we had to make decisions. Now, guess what? When you're only receiving $50 a week, because that's what I got on disability, my workers' comp hadn't been settled yet. They were fighting that. The accident hadn't been settled yet. They were fighting that. It took over 2 years. And we were living not on much. But we tithed on what we had. And then we increased our missions giving. And we went from, I was earning roughly $65,000. That doesn't sound like much now, maybe. But it was a lot then. We're talking back in the year 1990, 91, 92. And it turned around and we went down to basically $200 a month. And I looked at her and I says, honey, we need God to bless. We need him to bless. We got to increase our missions giving. And she's looking at me and she goes, can you get water out of a stone? We don't have it to give. And I looked at her and I said, I promise I'll give up Pepsi. We can increase it this much. I won't drink any soda. And we increased it. Even if it was just $10 a month, we increased our missions giving. We've never gone back on our missions giving so far. There may come to a day when we don't have even be able to give that offering. I don't know. But we increased our missions giving by $10 a month. We didn't have hardly anything, and then I turned around and I had to go get a loan so that we could get our house put in. And I had no finances. We had nothing. And I went to the bank and I talked to the president of Fulton Savings Bank. And he said, well, I don't know why you're meeting with me. And I said, well, I need to talk to you. And I sat down and I talked with him. And he says, you need to borrow what? And I said, well, yeah, we've got a house ordered. Now I got hurt and I can't pay for it. I can't do this or that. We went to the bank that we normally had. It's not called it. We were in Swiggle County Savings Bank was where our main accounts were. We weren't even in Fulton Savings. And he says, tell me what's going on. And I said, well, I've been hurt really bad. I got hurt in a work injury. There's a work comp claim waiting to take place. It hasn't happened yet. And then I had a major car accident. They cut the car apart to get me out. And I've had $200,000 worth of surgeries. And they're telling me I may not go back to work again. I might. I don't know. Right now, I have $200 a month from disability, and then I get paid $200 a month from the church because I wasn't taking very much from here, never have. And he's going, if you go back to work, do they want you? And I said, here, we'll call the plant manager. Oh, he's a valued employee. If he can come back, we want him, we miss him, we need him. Yes. I had him call one of the deacons of the church here. And he's talking to the deacon. He says, well, we want him to be our senior pastor, but right now he's too broken. We're going to wait until he can do this, and we're going to help him through, but we want him. And he goes, okay. And then he looked at me, and he says, I'm going to give you a loan. And he says, you only have to pay the interest payment on the loan until everything is settled for you. Because if your workers' comp claim comes through and then the auto accident comes through, you'll be able to pay it off. If you can't and you go back to work, you'll be able to pay it. And I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to give you a mortgage with no means to pay the mortgage. The reason I say that is because you know what Judy and I learned? You can't outgive God. You can't outgive him. We've never, since we got saved, not paid our tithe. Now, has that gone up and down, the tithe? That's 10% of your increase. And we've always given to missions. And you say, why is that? Because I won't ask people to do something that I don't do myself. Okay? And I'm more open about our finances than my wife would like me to be most of the time. Because I want people to understand. Because I want them to have the blessings that come out of that. See, so we see two examples. We're giving the tithing before the law. Then you have tithing under the law. And it was to provide for God's man, provide for the house of God. Now go to Matthew 23. I can guarantee you that your senior pastor, Pastor Kinney, gives tithes and offerings. I'm not asking him to tell you what he does, but I can tell you our conversations, I know. We will not ask something of somebody else that we won't do ourselves. We want to teach them, you want God to bless in your life? We want you to understand why there's the blessing in our lives. Matthew 23. Look at verse 23. God is giving a warning to the religious leaders. Watch what he says. Verse 23, he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He calls them what? Because they like pointing out where other people failed the law, but they wouldn't apply it to themselves. See, we should never spend our time looking at where someone else is failing, and we need to make sure that our own house is in order, right? 23. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. And what are they? Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So what is he telling them? Yes, you're supposed to pay the tithe of your increase, but you also should be able to have the judgment and the mercy and the faith that goes along with that. That's our Savior telling us. He said something was not to be left undone. He said the tithe was a payment. You will not hear us teaching on this all the time. Excuse me. But it is important that you understand. A pastor's job is to preach and to teach and to instruct and to help the congregation to grow in such a way that God can bless them. God is not looking to deny you. He's not looking to drop the hammer on you. He's looking to bless. But he can't bless disobedience. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. starting in verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed. That's chapter 10, I'm sorry, not chapter 9. I'm going, that doesn't sound right. I'm telling you, I want God to bless you, and so then I'm talking about him destroying you. Wrong side of the page. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 9. For it is written in the law of Moses that thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of for oxen? See, because that's talking about providing for the priests and the Levites. Also saith he it altogether for our sakes. For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, he's talking about those who minister to the church, to the flock, is it a great thing that we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait on the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should what? Live of the gospel. There was provision supposed to be made. You had the Old Testament law supports the fact that the New Testament church would support the ministry with finances. So how did the Old Testament saints, how did they support the Old Testament ministers? With what? Tithes. Even so, see verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Church has never had a problem with it. We took care of Pastor Christian right up until the day that the Lord called him home. I have no complaints. God provided in certain ways that allowed us always to take care of their associate pastors. They were paid as well or better than many senior pastors. Okay? It's allowed us to take good care of Pastor Kenny. I've never taken a full salary from this church, and now I'm not looking to, because I am not the senior pastor. But the thing is so I've seen churches, and they wonder why they don't grow, and they don't take care of their preachers because they don't even know how to give tithes and offerings. And then they wonder why there's no blessing of God in their life. And I'm not saying that you give your tithe and live like the devil, God's going to bless you. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's one of the ways that God works so that he can bless you. And that's the way they were to be taken care of. Okay, 1 Corinthians 16. I hate what happens in so many places. There are pastors of churches, big churches, churches on TV, and they rip their people off. And they take advantage of so many different things. And when you have a pastor who is a multi-millionaire, and he wasn't when he went into the ministry, don't tell me that man's right with God. Okay, but that's not the general case. You don't go into the ministry to get rich. So you need to take care of them. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so do ye. Okay, so they're collecting this church. They're giving offerings above their tithe. This is the church at Corinth. And they're given the support other churches who were struggling. And it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath what? Prospered him, your increase. That there be no gatherings when I come. As God hath prospered, Here's a proportion. The pattern throughout the Bible before the law, during the law, was what? 10%. God, that's what God is saying. That's what he wants his ministry to be supported out of. When you give above that, you're showing your love. Tithing doesn't show God your love. It shows him your obedience. Giving above that shows him your love. You're willing to give more. They came to church. They were laid in store, which reminds us of the storehouse in the Old Testament that they were to give so that the priest would have. Now, the first place we find tithing, it was given to Melchizedek. Okay, I'm not going to spend time this morning trying to prove to you who Melchizedek was or wasn't. But I want you to see some things about him. And I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. I'm glad this is only one lesson. I don't like teaching on finances. I do not know what anyone else here gives to the church. It's not my business. If I was to ask Mike McMillan, he'd say, Pastor, not your business. You understand that? We don't want to know. The only person who knows if you give by envelope, you want a record of it, is going to be the treasurer and the financial secretary who count it. The pastors don't know. And you know why that's good? That gives us the liberty to preach and teach to you what God would have so that you can learn and be blessed. And not for you to think, you know, if you knew, you know, how is it? When you know something and you have to deal with it, and you're dealing with someone else, you know something about them, you can't get it out of your mind, can you? Well, see, we don't have that issue. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 8, this is speaking of Jesus. As though he were son, yet he learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of who? Melchizedek. Look at verse 21 of chapter 7. We'll go up to verse 9. We'll go up to verse. Let me see here. 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which the tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. He wasn't part of the Levitical priesthood. Wasn't the right tribe. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before of the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but bringing into a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made a priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of what? By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. After the order of Melchizedek, Abraham directed his tithes to the ministry of Melchizedek. Jesus is a great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's a Melchizedekian priest. He's not a Levitical priest. Where should we direct ours? There's no way around it. Tithing to the Lord is a witness of the fact that you believe. Got to remember, it says after an endless life, that you believe he's alive. Hebrews 7. Ready? Look at verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth of all, first being interpretation king of righteousness, and after that king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now look at verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Look at verse 5. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Look at verse 8. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is written that he liveth. When you tithe, you're giving a testimony. You're giving to a living, eternal priest. He's your great high priest. And that's part of what you're signifying when you do this. So should we tithe? A tithe is not 2%. A tithe is not 5%. A tithe is not 7%. It's not 9.9999%. It's 1/10 of your increase. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have ye robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now, there's some things that go along with that because of that. You ever had something stolen from you? You ever been robbed? My oldest son and my daughter-in-law, they live in St. Paul, not Minneapolis. They live in St. Paul, about maybe a block and a half from the governor's mansion. Across the street from them is a law school. Next to them is this Episcopal church. Okay? They live in a fairly nice neighborhood. Right near, there's not a block and a half from the governor's mansion. Well, they like sitting out on their front porch. They had it remodeled, you know, and there's a big, like Hawaiian fan, the big blades on the front porch, and they had nice outdoor furniture, and they had some comforters and some pillows and some other things, and then they had some stuff delivered, didn't they? It was on their front porch. And they come home from work, and it was all stolen. They'd been robbed. Didn't get into the house. 2 years ago, my son had his garage broken into. They broke the lock, broke into the garage, and my son had stored all his hunting material out there. His firearms were in a safe in the house, but they stole his bow, they stole his crossbow, they stole his climbing tree stand, they stole his boots, and they stole his clothes that were all stored out in the garage. Not a happy camper. Don't come between a Legault and his hunting stuff. I can't get away from that, all right? And he had to replace it all, you know. You ever had something, you ever been robbed by somebody? You ever have something taken? Sometimes it happens by people you know, and sometimes it happens by somebody you don't have any idea who they are. That's why we've got a 30-pound dog with a 100-pound bark. How do you think God feels? He says, when you don't tithe, you're stealing from him. I didn't write this book. I told you I don't like preaching or teaching this. But that's what it says. You've robbed me. So should we tithe? Yes. Malachi 3. Turn there. Now, he's telling Israel, because this was written in this last book of the Old Testament, verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. In other words, they've got, God's holding back a blessing from them because they didn't. And he says in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that shall not be, there shall not be room enough to receive it. What is he telling them? You be obedient to God's giving. Bring all your tithes. You provide for God's house. Meet in his storehouse. God uses it to support the workers. Now stay here in Malachi, but turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 14. I want you to understand we're trying to be thoroughly biblical about what I'm showing you. Deuteronomy 14. Verses 28 and 29. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and thou shalt lay it up within thy gates, and the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. So what's the purpose of giving it? It takes care of God's man, it takes care of the work for the help for the widows and the orphans, the needy. And it's a place when you do it, God can bless. It was of the temple. God uses tithes today to support the workers of the church. Back in Malachi 3 and verse 10, he says, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts." He's saying, "Prove me. See, will I not open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing?" To have God protect you in your success. If you don't do it, watch. Verse 11. "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." He's going to protect you to keep someone from ruining your success. He wants you to have a, should you tithe, you to have a good testimony. Look at verse 12. "And all the nations shall call you" what? "For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." So he's going to, it's going to be a testimony. I have no problem giving a testimony of God's grace and mercy and blessing in my family's life. Have we had problems? We breathe. Have we had tragedy? We breathe. If we've had loss, we breathe. Have we had blessing? We breathe. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's a testimony of blessing. Go back to verse 7 of Malachi, chapter 3. Verse 6, I'm going to read it first. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." God chose them. He never totally let them go. Did he let stuff happen to them? Yes, when they disobeyed and they did not follow the commands of God. "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return?" And that leads us to verse 8. What do they have to return in? "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes, in offerings." And God's saying, return to me. Return to me. What's the purpose for it? Back to Deuteronomy 14. Deuteronomy 14. "And thou shalt eat," verse 23, "shall eat before the Lord thy God in the place he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to" what? "Fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then thou shalt turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. I hadn't been the pastor, senior pastor, very long. We had this guy come visit the church. He came on a Sunday. He came the next week, and he just brought a bag of vegetables or corn or something, and he put it in the offering plate when it came around. You know what we said? Praise God. Praise God. Okay. Now, they're saying if you can't carry it, turn it into money because it was supposed to be provided for God's servants. And it was so that you would fear God. And I preached on Wednesday nights out of Proverbs. First one was the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the holy, what God's trying to teach us, is understanding. Trusting God with your money will cause you to trust Him and to rely on Him on more things. You'll be able to see His blessings and His provisions in other ways. The more we see God's power, the more we ought to fear Him. I am not afraid of a coming election in November. Because ultimately, God's going to give us who we deserve. Christians don't stand up the way they should, guess what we'll get? And I'm telling you right now, neither one of them truly, truly, as far as it can be seen in the outside, neither of them love God the way they ought. I have my druthers. I can't give a political announcement. I've been warned by my pastor. Okay? But I want you to understand something. Ultimately, it's in God's control. What do I see as God's blessing? You know, 50 years of marriage, God's a blessing. My kids and my grandchildren are still all alive. Other people, they've had God bless them, but they don't have that too. We're not begging bread. We can look at God and see His hand in so many things and thank Him for His mercy. Because in everything, we have so much more than we deserve. And it's going to depend on how you look at it. If you look at what you don't have, I want you to stop and think about, what have you done with God? What have you done with Him? See, that money was given. It's not only to take care of the priests, God's men. It's to take care of the widows and the fatherless. And it's so we can rejoice one with another. Can you tithe on whatever God gives you? Now for the kids, if they get enough, I believe kids should be given allowance for work. They should not be given money for doing nothing. You make the choice with your kids. If you give them money and they aren't earning it, you're teaching them that they just have it. But you give them chores, you give them stuff to do. You make them build a wall down the end of their driveway, Carla. They get paid for doing things. And then they have to learn to do what with it? What God says. The earlier you start with it, the more blessings you can get. Tithing will teach you to live by faith because there's going to be times you're going to look at it, and I'm telling you from experience, you will not understand how God's going to take care of it. You say, I don't have it to give. I tell you, I don't have it not to give. Amen? It'll teach you how to save more money. That's something lost in many people today. If you learn to give to God first, I tell people, they come to me, new young couples or whatever, they come to me, if a young person wants to know how to handle their finances. I can remember when Pastor Gipp was here, he was the assistant pastor, and he had a college and career class, and he asked me, he said, and he didn't know about finances, and he goes, preacher, can you teach me? And I taught him. And he says, can you teach the the young adults. And I go, why is that? He says, because a couple of them come to me and they got $30,000 in credit card debt. And I'm going, they got what? And I went in for 3 or 4 weeks when they met, and I taught them on biblical finances and how God can bless it and how to get out from under what they're doing and how they need to save money. And I teach them, you know what they need to do? You need to tithe to God. Then you need to tithe out of what you have left from that to a bank account that you're not spending that week or that month. So you tithe to yourself. Okay? It'll teach you how to save money. It'll make it easier for you to give in other areas of your life. Because when you tithe and you get through, when you've done certain things, all of a sudden you say, well, God provides. And God will lay on your heart. You know, when you turn around and missions come, missions time, whatever it is, and God lays something on your heart. If you've learned to trust Him with your tithe, you'll learn to be able to trust Him easier, more easily, because you learned that you can't what? Outgive Him. It'll make it easier for you to give in other areas of your life. Tithing is just not of your money. Tithing is of your time. How about tithing of your love for other people? God increase your love, your relationship with Him. Do you give of that to other people? See that it all fits together. And I'll finish with one verse. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Well, actually, we'll read three verses. Starting at verse 19. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be what? So who's the treasure of your heart? Will a man rob God? Try me and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And all God's people said, take a break.